There's nothing like League. And this is the Betfred Super League.
And welcome along to a milestone edition of Eddie and Steve-O, the podcast. Would you believe this is our 100th episode? Something to celebrate, I think, because I bet people out there said it simply wouldn't last. In actual fact, it has been a while since we actually got together with Steve-O to talk about all things rugby league, and we have masses of stuff to get through. But first, Steve-O, well done. 100 up. How does it feel to be a centurion? It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm feeling old. And why wouldn't you? Yeah, you're right. A lot of people dug me in the ribs, said it won't last. Nobody will listen. Obviously, some people do. And thank you for all you people that do.
Indeed. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you to Betfred, of course, for their continued support. Right, where do we start in this conversation? There's so much, as I said, to get through, but I don't think anywhere other than the 2023 NRL Grand Final, Penrith 26, Brisbane 24. Brisbane had it won. Penrith mounted the greatest comeback in Grand Final history in the last quarter. Has there ever been a better Grand Final than this one, Steve-O?
I think you're spot on, Eddie. It was just breathtaking. I honestly felt like turning the TV off. I'm saying, well, the Panthers, my old club, they've gone. They just cannot get back in. Surely with the kicking ability that they had, Brisbane, that they would just kick, kick, kick all the time. Trouble is, they made one mistake. That's all, one mistake that just allowed the Penrith Panthers to get back into the swing of things. And boy, Nathan Cleary became a legend.
Didn't he just? What a performance from him. He scored one, created a couple more. He dragged a win out of his teammates. The greatest halfback of all time? That's what they're saying.
Oh, it's pretty easy to start saying that, Eddie, but there's been some fantastic ones over the many, many years. Look, I think you'll have to class him as a legend, obviously. You know, they've won three on the trot. He's won the Clive Churchill medal, man of the match. That's for the second time. So, yes, he's up there. But it's easy to sort of start saying it's the best of all time, et cetera, et cetera. But he is a legend. It's a bit like you, Eddie. Remember White to West. You became a legend. That particular broadcast. And me, I'm left with an ostrich biting my ear off many years ago. And that's all they remember me for. You get White to West and I get an ear bitten off.
Well,
but look, full praise to Penrith. You know, I mean, when Ezra Mann scored a hat trick in 10 minutes, I thought that's it. Shut it down. There's no way in the world we come back. I forgot about one man, Nathan Cleary. Tremendous.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. They came back from 24-8 down, a 16-point deficit, therefore, shattered the greatest ever comeback. You say it was one mistake. You have to feel sorry for Brisbane. I mean, Ezra Mann, that hat-trick, you've mentioned him. And Lee Breers. Lee Breers in his first year as assistant coach of the Broncos. How heartbreaking for him.
Yeah, it must have been, because he had plenty of heartbreak when he was playing for Warrington, wouldn't he? So it's one of those situations where, look, Brisbane, they were awful last season. They were brilliant this season. And you've just got to take into account, 4 years ago, Penrith also got beaten in a grand final, and they won the last three on the trot. So it's a big turnaround for the Brisbane Broncos, and they will be back with vengeance next season.
Sure they will. We will be hearing during the podcast today that Super League is really worried about getting a big crowd for Old Trafford for their big day in a week or so's time. How about that crowd in Sydney, Steve-O? It looked absolutely brilliant, didn't it?
Yeah, and the amazing thing is, Eddie, that it was a sellout virtually a fortnight, 3 weeks before the grand final. It's really, really buzzing down under with everything, especially with the fact that to start of next season, they'll be taking two games over to Las Vegas. They want to break into the USA market. And what a way to do it, to take it to the gambling city, Las Vegas. We've got to do quite a lot, Eddie, in regard to trying to turn it around. And this IMG, they've got a very, very difficult job to pull us out of, well, a bit of a mess that we're in already. And it could get worse.
It easily could. But let's concentrate, first of all, on the stuff on the field. It's semi-final weekend coming up for us. Wigan, Hull Kingston Rovers, Catalan against St. Helens. Now, on Saturday, Hull KR will arrive in Wigan full of confidence, I'm sure. Challenge Cup final, a grand final, semi-final now. They're bound to take a massive crowd with them to Wigan. It's good to have a week off, as Wigan have, or is it good to have the momentum coming into this playoff series, as Rovers have?
Sometimes it works. Other times it can be a bit of a failure. But I always feel that the momentum is good when a team's winning, and of course Hull KR are doing that, and they will go with their tails up, and they've every right to do that. But it also depends on whether how many players were injured a fortnight ago, and it gives you that 14 days to recover. So that can help when you're having the rest. But I always feel momentum is the go.
What do you think, Steve-O, about this loophole in the laws of the game that we're going to found? And it's something that other clubs have done in the past, of course, allowing three key players, Bevan French, Cade Ellis, Harvey Hill, to be available for selection for this Saturday, despite being banned for a game each by the disciplinary committee last week. Wigan were going to be inactive. They got the week off, as we say, because they finished top of the pile, but their reserves weren't putting their fate up. They had a reserve grand final to play against St. Helens, and because of this loophole in the law, all three are now named in the squad for that reserve team grand final. They were never going to play in it. The bans are served. That doesn't seem right. Some people say it's a joke. It's got to be changed, hasn't it?
Of course it's got to change. It's a disgrace. It's an embarrassment to our wonderful game of rugby league. You cannot bring in laws that allow you to ensure that someone who has been put in a position where you can't pay, you're suspended, because you've done something wrong. And yet, because they've done something wrong, they can change the rules and the laws of the game to ensure that they play. It's a disgrace, and as I say it again, it's an embarrassment for our game. And the sooner the people who are running the game sort that out, the better. Trouble is, it's too late. They're allowed to play.
They are, and Hull Kingston Rovers might suffer because of that. Or will they be? Do you think they'll be all fired up because of that in many ways? You know, these three shouldn't be playing.
Of course they'll be fired up. I mean, that'll only just add a little bit extra weight to their incentive to do away. And let's say, listen, we'll beat the bad blood. We'll beat them. We'll get going to it. Look, they have played wonderful, wonderful stuff this year. A lot of momentum, and you've got to give their coach a lot of credit for it.
That's Willie Peters. You most certainly have. Catalan Saints into bat first on Friday. Now, I'm told they've put 12,000 extra seats in at the Gilbert Brutus Stadium. Saints are having to fork out thousands of pounds out of their own bank balance to get there. They're going for five in a row. Catalan have got Sam Tompkins retiring. A host of their star players are moving on. James Roby and LMS, of course, at St. Helens. They're hanging up their boots. I mean, which way is this one going to go?
Wow, toss a coin. Simple as that. It's going to be very, very tough. Also depends on the weather. At this time of year, it can still be quite hot down in the south of France. And that may well be an advantage to the Catalan players. But if it's overcast and maybe not as warm as what they expect, then I'd have to say that St. Helens would have a good chance of just sneaking through. And when I mention sneak through, I don't think there's going to be many points between them.
Well, you sound to me like you're sitting on the fence here. I just want to know now who are going to the grand final. Wigan, Catalan, Saints. Come on.
I'm going to go Wigan and Saints.
Wow. Okay. And that would be the game and a half. It was the one that they thought they were going to get for the Challenge Cup final and didn't. I wonder if Lightning is going to strike twice, Steve. I wonder if it's going to be two new names. How would that be? Two new names. A new name on the trophy. Let's get excited.
Yeah, I can't believe, Eddie, that you actually feel that my selections are some way sort of just haphazard. But
well,
it's been up and down this season. We understand that. But you've got to say that Wigan and St. Helens have got to start favourites. It's not going to be easy for either of them. And all four teams have got the opportunity. And maybe our discussion, if people are reading it or people are, shall we say, listening to it, then they'll say, well, that Eddie and Steve-O, they don't know what they're talking about. And do you know, Eddie, underneath, we're probably right.
They probably are right, indeed. I mean, for 30 years, you were tipping people and everyone was going, oh, he's not tipped us, has he? He's not tipped us. Well, now you've done it. You've tipped Wigan Saints. We've tipped Wigan Saints. Let's see how it goes.
The one thing it will do, though, Eddie, it should mean that it's a sellout at Old Trafford.
Well, let's hope so. I'm going to come onto this right now because it's just over a week away, Old Trafford. Attendance prospects, well, they seem to be causing some concern in the powers that be. Clubs across the board have been warned to expect a potential funding cut of five figures over the next 3 months. Losses in centralised events has resulted in a situation where a reduction could be required. I've heard the figure of £30,000 a club. The worst case scenario, of course, in a poor grand final attendance, is the fact that the Catalan Dragons might get there. Alarm bells are ringing. The last time they played in the grand final, 2021, it was the lowest attendance since the first one in 1998. Now, look, if you don't want Catalan Dragons to get to the grand final, don't have them in the competition. That's my view. Let them play, let them get there, and let's see how it goes.
Well, the point being, Eddie, is that it shouldn't matter whoever plays in the grand final.
Here.
It should be a count of the fact that, look, in the old and golden days, even I can remember the fact that at the start of the season, you started saving up to go to Wembley. That was before even a Challenge Cup game had even kicked off. It was, I have got to go to Wembley. Now, we've got to get that same attitude about, we've got to go to Manchester, we've got to go to Old Trafford. So people like IMG, they've got to start saying, OK, they don't just start doing it a couple of months before the grand final. They should be doing it in the off-season of saying, we are going to give you great value for money if you purchase your grand final tickets now. Not wait 6 months later and find out who's going to be there. Put them in a situation when you get a family ticket, etc. and so forth. We've got to come out and give something back to the fans. Instead of just clobbering them with saying, oh, we've got to put another 15% or 10% on top, let's start taking 20% off and let's get the crowds back in there, get them back into the swing of things. When I was a young kid, my dad would take me down to Wembley and I'd look forward to it. And we didn't even know who was going to be there.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I do know that the Super League do have the early bird tickets. Maybe they're not discounted as much as they could be, but anyway, they do have early bird tickets. They do have offers before the season starts and right the way through to the end of the regular weekly rounds. But there's something about rugby league attendances in this country generally, Steve-O, at the moment. OK, look, Magic Weekend did all right this year, the best crowd since 2018. Wembley, below 60,000. The mid-season international against the French, an underwhelming crowd. We've already talked about offering cut price tickets to get these attendance figures up. Ironically, Magic Weekend did okay this year. That's one event we're led to believe IMG are opting to drop in the future.
Well, they've got to change their mind. Simple as that. You just don't look at two failures and then look at something that you've achieved and say, well, forget about the two failures. We'll get rid of the one where we've achieved pretty good attendances. So that's got to be changed. That's got to have a different attitude. Look, the cost of going to London, to Wembley, is a lot more money than going to Newcastle. How simple is that?
It's enormous.
The hotels, etc., and so forth. Even buying a pint in London, when I buy a pint, I go white.
Hang on. Just a minute. Is this on record? You buy a pint?
Solo. I'm not buying anyone else.
I thought so.
I can do the solo one.
We realize that
there hasn't been a lot of sort of situation whereby, you know, the pandemic's affected everything, and we've got to try to get back. But there's only one way that we can attract people to come. It's like giving the offers when you go shopping. You'll go somewhere where there's an offer on and say they'll take 20% off. I know you say that in the off-season, that Super League do offer this, that, and the other, but we've got to make it more advantageous towards the fans. Yes. Say, look, get in early and let's get it sorted out.
And didn't they used to call it in your day, Steve, or tontine? Didn't you used to pay money in every week and pay it in, and it went in a bank balance, and then at the end of it, when we know we're going to Wembley, what date, all the money's drawn out and you have a good time and it's virtually all paid for and sorted out. Is that what they used to do? I'm sure
they
do.
Yeah, of course they do. And I'm sure that they still do. I've certain clubs that do that. But, you know, you put up on the wall, if you were in a working men's club or a pub or whatever, Wembley trip, put your name down, blah, blah, blah. And before you bought a pint, you put a couple of quid in the jar. Simple as that.
Yeah.
And by the time you got to Wembley, and this is also important, you know, when do we play Wembley? They talk about taking Wembley later in the season.
It's June next year, Steve-O. I can confirm that. June the 8th is the date next year.
Well, that's great, because that gives you an opportunity then to formulate the same sort of thing where you put so much away each week, so that you can go to the grand final.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Well, the clubs have decided to wait until after the grand final, when the financial picture might become clearer, and we'll hear more about that in due course. Can we talk video referees for a minute, Steve-O?
Do we have to?
I don't think they've ever been in the news as much as they are just recently. And it's ironic when you think that as from next year, under this new television deal, all games are going to have a video referee facility. Gary Schofield, in his regular weekly newspaper column, asks whether we really need them. Leona Derek Beaumont was scathing about the referee and the video referee when Lee went out of the playoffs. He said, and to be fair, his comments aim more at the on-field official this time, "This is a sport that's not investable anymore unless there are changes. I won't be investing any further." Now, that should be alarming news in the game, because no one has invested more than Derek Beaumont this year.
Well, he's certainly got the money to be able to have a gripe. And throughout the history of our game, we've always blamed the referees. It's as simple as that. This is nothing new. We've always had problems with referees because of one thing. They're human beings. So what do they try to do? They bring in technology. Technology is supposed to eliminate any problems. But sometimes you can't see. You haven't got 48 cameras from different angles. Sometimes it's difficult for the video referee to make a decision. So therefore, it may look as though... And look, we all make mistakes. I mean, I made one working with you. So what does that change? The thing is that we can get rid of this, we can get rid of that. But I think we should keep the technology. I don't like what they do in Australia, where they've got a captain's challenge. I think that slows the game down. They do it on purpose. If they say 10 points in front, they use that as a ploy to get a little bit of a rest for the players. I don't like that. But we brought it in, the technology, and the technology, Eddie, has been able for us, especially with the law, that if a winger is diving into the corner, it touches the flag, it's not classed as being in touch.
Yes.
Now, how many tries would be allowed or disallowed if we didn't have the technology to see whether it got that ball down inside the line on the outside or the goal line? It's as simple as that.
It is. Do you think, though, Steve-O, do you think that the fact that the referee sends it up as a try or a no try doesn't allow the video referee to do his job properly? Because if there's no wriggle room, if he can't with 100% certainty see that the decision on the field is wrong, he can't overturn it. Do you think it should
Eddie,
be, look,
Eddie,
just have a check,
Eddie,
have a check and see.
Eddie, the referee shouldn't make any comment.
Correct.
If he's undecided, well, it's not for me. The television and the different angles will prove one way or the other. So all they have to do is just change the law. Referees, shut up.
Absolutely.
Don't make any statement. Because what occurs if the referee says, I've got a no try, and then it comes up as a try, then the opposition will just say, well, I thought the referee got it right. Just tell the referees, stick the whistle in the pockets, keep the mouth shut, which might be an advantage over the entire 80 minutes. And I think it's so simple. Don't give any instructions or help or whatever. Leave it up to the video referee.
So it's not time to dump the technology and rely purely and simply on the merry whistleblower, as you used to call him, in the middle, with all the pitfalls that that has.
Yeah, as I said, look, how many tries have been scored by wingers that it's so close, did he get that down? Without the technology, we wouldn't be able to say whether it was a try or no try. So you can't just because a few people have said, I'm not investing, I can't do this, that, and the other. I can understand them getting irate about it all. But this has been going on for quite some time. No one seems to say, that was a try. If we didn't have the technology, that could have been no try. So referees, shut up. Video referee, make the decision. Simple.
Fair enough. Player awards night's coming up next week. Dream team named already. Five, Steve-O, five of the Lee Leopards, plus Jack Wellsby from Saints, Bevan French, Jake Wardle, Liam Farrell of Wigan, Hull KR's Sean Kenny-Dowell, Callum Watkins of Salford, Tom Johnston of the Catalan Dragons, and Paul Vaughan of Warrington. No one can ever agree on the selection of the dream team. Have Ellery Hanley and his crew, have they got it right this time, do you think?
I wouldn't know. I've got no idea. I mean, it's only a group of people that have made that suggestion. The one thing I will say is that they picked the team, and the Man of Steel probably isn't in the team.
Well, maybe.
That's a possibility, isn't it?
Well, they're all. To be fair, the Man of Steel, they're all mentioned. I mean, George Williams was leading the Man of Steel voting until the vote went quiet midway through the season. But Bevan French, Tom Johnston, Jack Wellsby, they're all the contenders. They're on the list. They're the shortlist for the Steve Prescott MBE Man of Steel Award, which will be announced next week. Who's going to win that, do you think? Come on.
No idea.
Yeah, we're not paying you to have no idea.
I'm sitting on the fence. I'm going to go for Johnston.
Okay, I'll go for Wellsby. I think he's been magnificent all year. Anyway, there you are. Right, stand by, Brevin French, you've won it. Look, what about the reigning Man of Steel, Brodie Croft? He's the subject of immense transfer speculation. Probably something to do with the revenue reduction, I don't know. Anyway, on Friday on Sky Sports, Jenna Brooks dropped the bombshell that Brodie Croft might be on his way to Lee, the Salford coach. Paul Rowley was in the studio with John Wells. John Wells ducked asking the question all of us wanted an answer to, or at least a reaction from Paul Rowley. Salford not happy the question was even raised. Lee coach Adrian Lamb says he wants someone to give Brodie Croft his phone number, but he's not heard about it. No smoke without fire, is there?
And listen, Eddie, you and I, you and I threw that many pieces of coal on the fire over how many years, and now you're trying to suggest that someone else is creating havoc. Come on, get it sorted out. We talk about the media. The media just come up with whatever they want. It's only a suggestion.
It's a good line. It's a good line that Brody Croft's on his way.
Well, of course it's a good line. But there's also talk about that they've got financial problems at Salford.
Well, I think if this big reduction in central funding comes about, a lot of clubs are going to have financial problems.
And which club doesn't have financial problems at the moment?
Correct. Well, I wonder what Leeds' situation is, because they are now emerging, according to all the websites, as favourites to sign Brody Croft. Allegedly, they have tabled a six-figure bid to get him. Now, Croft signed a deal to keep him at Salford until 2030, Steve-O. The club launched a community share scheme, raised over $364,000 to help pay for what is a record deal at Salford. Despite this, Salford are open to offers, reportedly, and Croft is one of the highest paid in Super League. Are Leeds prepared to break the bank to get Brody Croft?
Well, I think if Gary Hetherington is listening to this programme, Eddie, he'll be looking for the smelling salts. Oh my goodness me, that's going to cost me X amount, maybe XY amount. Look, it's all media talk. We don't know. It's maybe it was leaked out to make sure that it was a large figure that you'd have to pay. Maybe someone else has said, I've heard that Leeds is interested, etc. and so forth. But it won't be long before someone will say, well, St. Helens might be interested. I'm sure Wigan will be as well, because don't they have the money to do that sort of thing?
I'm not sure they do, because Luke Thompson is coming to them on a four-year deal from the NRL. He's coming home, and he's signed for Wigan this week. So I don't know whether they've got much money left. Brilliant, isn't it?
Well, I tell you what, I'll never forget our first podcast, Eddie. And the one thing that we were talking about, and I said, listen, the future of our game is down to one thing, finance. And here we are talking about exactly the same thing. How many times have I said to you, come on, we'll get on the plane and go to, we'll go overseas and get some sheikh of Araby or whatever to pump in, not billions that they want to do into football, but, you know, just a couple of million or 3 or 4 million and own a rugby league team.
What a great idea.
Well,
go and find the sheikh of Araby.
I am now looking at my passport. I always keep it on view.
Oh dear.
Oh yes, yeah. It's probably the best shot I've ever had. Photo I've ever had. Honestly.
Listen, before we move on any further, we should mention, we've mentioned the Man of Steel nominees, the Coach of the Year nominees, Steve-O, Matty Peat, Steve McNamara, Paul Rowley, Adrian Lamb, I don't think he's in it, I'm not sure. But Adrian Lamb, Willie Peters, Paul Wellens, world champions in his first game. You know, Peat, McNamara and Rowley, I understand. Lamb, Peters, Wellens, not mentioned. What's going on there?
Well, he put it down to a committee yet again. I think the Wigan coach is odds on.
Do you? Again, second year in a row?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd have said Adrian Lamb should have been in with a shout, and Willie Peters, to be fair.
Yeah, they've both done well, but it was obviously down to a committee that make these things. And I'd have to say, when you look through the Wigan outfit, they brought so many good young kids through. And Peat has done a marvellous job. It's as though you could point the finger at Peat and say, well, Wigan smashed out huge amounts of money. They haven't. They've brought young kids through. They've brought a real team environment. And in my opinion, I think Peat should win it again.
You mentioned the committee. We used to sit on that committee once upon a time. Do you remember all those years ago?
I was hoping you wouldn't even bring that up.
I tell you what, there was one meeting and it went on for hours because you were always anxious to get another bottle of wine in from the bar. It went on for hours and I went to the loo and I thought we'd settled on a Man of Steel. I came back from the loo and it was someone totally different. I mean, that's what committees do. That's of what course committees they do.
Yeah, and I told you, never ever leave a committee to go to the loo.
I should never have done.
They say, we've got rid of that Hemmings, he wanted so-and-so. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll stitch him up.
And
but
they
you did. Can't. You can't say that, Eddie. Well,
I just have. Well, all will be known next week about the Man of Steel, the Coach of the Year, and everybody else. The Women of Steel, the Wheelchair Men of Steel, etc. and so forth. I think they're calling them Wheels of Steel in 2023. All good stuff. That's all next week, the celebration. But, of course, since we were last chatting, Wakefield have been relegated. Expected all year, sadly. They're now in the Championship. And here's the thing. There's been talk recently of Championship and League One merging into one competition. London Scholars apparently are moving to the amateur ranks next year, leaving the third tier with only 9 clubs. They fear they are in the wilderness, those 9 clubs. That's why there's talk of them joining the Championship, particularly bearing in mind IMG's grading system proposals. But would a combined competition work? 23 teams, Cornwall to Whitehaven, a logistical nightmare, to say nothing about that wonderful word of yours, the finance and all the cost involved.
Would you believe, Eddie, many, many years ago, and way back in the 50s, 60s and 70s, early 70s, I think we had 34 or 36 teams.
Yep.
And what occurred was that we played all the Yorkshire teams, if you were a Yorkshire side, and just 2 sides from Lancashire, and vice versa. And because of that sort of situation, it was still like having 2 divisions. So maybe that's what they're looking at, because you're talking about Cornwall going up to Whitehaven.
I know.
I mean, that'll take 3 days anyway.
It will be if they rely on HS2. It's not going to happen. That is for sure. But it is. It's a logistical nightmare, and the finance would be crazy. I mean, let's just wait and see.
The thing what we've got to do and look at is that IMG has got to make sure that they stick by the rules and regulations that they are about to bring in. And in that, what I'm saying is that maybe the Championship and the lower grade will virtually be all part-time. I can't see being able to have the finances to be able to make it full-time professional. But then you'll probably find 1, 2, maybe 3 clubs will say, well, I want to go full-time professional. So therefore, those 3 clubs will be favourites to be selected by IMG because they pass a criteria.
Yeah.
So whoever's got the most money will be able to force their way into Super League. Simple, straight to the point, and true.
You're right. Look, it's been great to catch up again, and we've had a history lesson as well about the 60s and the 70s. I mean, I expect that from you every week, a history lesson, because you are considerably older than I am, but it's always great to catch up. You've lost none of your vim and vigor, as you always used to say. And next week it's grand final week, and just once again, who's getting there, Steve-O? Come on, neck on the block.
Saints Wigan.
Okay, when we preview the grand final this week, it'll be our 101st podcast, a figure that we are very, very proud of, and we will look forward and ahead to all the fun of the Old Trafford Fair right here next week. Take care of yourself, and talk to you in a few days' time.
Take care, top man.